chapter as we do the second part of the four-part series on the Jabez Prayer. Genesis, the sixth chapter, is the introduction to this sermon today. And you will know when you get to Genesis 6, if you haven't already thought of it, this is a very well-known portion of the Bible. It's the story of Noah. And I especially want to focus on verse 5. And I want you to turn there. And notice, if you didn't bring a Bible with you, there is a Bible in the back of the pew in front of you. And I will hesitate even longer yet so that you may open up. We can follow along together. The reading of the Scripture changes lives. So we're going to look at Genesis, the sixth chapter. I want to begin reading at verse number 5. Then the Lord saw that the wickedness of man was great on the earth, and that every intent of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. In one version or translation I read, it says the evil of the thoughts of their heart was evil all day long. And the Lord was sorry that He had made man on the earth, and He was grieved in His heart. Verse 7, and the Lord said, I will blot out man whom I have created from the face of the land, and from the man to the animal, to the creepy thing, to the birds of the sky. For I am sorry that I have made them. But Noah found favor in the eyes of the Lord. Now, what in the world do these four verses we just read out of Genesis, the sixth chapter, have to do with the second part of the Jabez Prayer? That's the question. And I'm going to show you. So I invite you to take your Bible and turn to the Jabez Prayer, which is in 1 Chronicles. And let's reread the Jabez Prayer. And this way we'll also bring up to par with us the people who are just visiting here and haven't maybe looked at this prayer. Chronicles, the very first Chronicle, chapter 4, we find the Jabez Prayer. Let's read it together. And let's see what that has to do with those verses I read out of Genesis. And it's an incredible thought here as we look at the second part of the Jabez Prayer. You have 1 Chronicles, chapter 4, verse 9 and 10. And by the way, now as you're turning there, let me just fill in some spaces, then I'll read it, then I'll get going. All right? Chronicles, the first 9 chapters of Chronicles is nothing but genealogy. And if you were to take the time to read those 9 chapters of genealogy in Chronicles, you will find out for the most part, every single verse just simply says, Joel begot Susie and Susie begot Jimmy. That's basically it. I don't think those names are in there, though, but something like that. But all of a sudden, in the middle of this, in chapter 4, all of a sudden, an unknown person who is never mentioned again is talked about for 2 verses, and look what it says about him. 1 Chronicles, the 4th chapter, verse 9 and 10. Totally different from the rest of the verses in the first 9 chapters of Chronicles. And Jabez was more honorable than his brothers, and his mother named him Jabez, saying, because I bore him in pain. And you will note some of your versions says, because he caused me pain. Now Jabez called on God, the God of Israel, saying, oh, that thou would bless me indeed, and enlarge my border, and that thy hand might be with me, and that thou wouldst keep me from harm, that it may not pain me. And God granted him what he requested. Isn't this exciting? Isn't this incredible? I mean, here in the middle of all these begots that just go on and on and on, and all of a sudden, We're introduced to this guy named Jabez, and we're told, first of all, that he was a pain to his mother. He was such a serious pain to his mother that she even named him something that would memorialize the pain he caused. And by the way, that meant everywhere he went, he was embarrassed. Jabez? Your name is Jabez? Why in the world did your mother call you Jabez? Whoa! You must be a loser. But it says here he was more honorable than his brothers. And the reason I believe for that is he rose above his environment. He rose above his circumstances. He rose above who he was and how he was buttonholed. And he called upon the name of the Lord, folks. And therefore, he was more honorable than his brother. And that meant to me that his brethren weren't calling upon the name of the Lord. And that's how I believe that this scripture, that this prayer, that this section has so much to do with you and I. Because believe me, this is a day when we're really so busy, we're not really calling upon the name of the Lord. The Bible says he was more honorable than his brothers, even though he had a name which condemned him to failure. We discover he was more honorable because he called upon the name of the Lord, and the Bible says God answered his request. What is it that he said? The first part we already took a look, a close look at. We discovered it said that thou would bless me indeed. That was the first sermon. And now today let's move to the second part of his prayer and enlarge my border. You see? Now remember, he's more honorable because he called upon the name of the Lord and the Lord answers his request. So what he prayed here has meaning to you and I. First of all, that thou would bless me indeed and enlarge my border. What in the world does that mean? We need to know because we want to call upon the name of the Lord. We want to be more honorable than our brothers and our sisters, and we want God to answer our request. So in order to find out, here's a principle of Bible study. I want you to know this. Whenever you come to a scripture, a passage, and you're not sure what it means, after you're done reading it, just as we did, you always go to the first mention. Okay? So where's the first place that anything is mentioned about border? Let's take a look, if you would, at Genesis, the 15th chapter. We will come back again to Chronicles, but let's look at Genesis 15. Look at the first place that this idea was introduced, and we will determine what exactly is meant by the second part of Jabez's prayer, and increase my borders. By the way, this is absolutely crucial. We do this because it turns out that many organizations in society today, many secular organizations, many sales organizations and money-gathering organizations are focusing on this prayer and encouraging their workers to look at this prayer, for they are saying, increasing my borders means that God is telling you, you can be rich, famous, grab it all, get it all. We really need to understand what this is all about. What did he mean by increase or enlarge my border? Genesis 15, verse 18. And on that day, the Lord made a covenant with Abraham. Actually, it says Abram. He hadn't become Abraham yet. To your descendants, I have given this land. From the river of Egypt as far as the great river, the river Euphrates. And then it goes on to name all the countries that that entailed. So folks, the first place that this border idea is mentioned in Scripture was the promise or covenant that God made with Abram, that he said, you see this land all the way from Egypt up to the Euphrates River, all the way from the desert beyond the Jordan to the Mediterranean will be yours. It'll be yours. It'll be yours. Okay, so now we're getting a little idea of what's talked about border here, but we need some more clarification. So let's go to Genesis 28. Because we're still trying to figure out exactly what Jabez had in mind that God was so quick to answer. Something that perhaps you and I need to be praying. You have Genesis 28. Now we get to Jacob. This is Jacob's dream, the famous dream about the ladder. Now you know exactly what we're talking about here, and we want to look at verse 14. After he's had this vision, it says back, let me do verse 13. And behold, the Lord stood above it, the ladder, and he said, I am the Lord, the God of your father Abraham, and the God of Isaac. The land on which you lie, I will give to you and your descendants. Your descendants shall also be like the dust of the earth, and you shall spread out to the west, and to the east, and to the north, and to the south. And in you and your descendants shall all the families of earth be blessed. Now this is incredible. Isn't that neat? I mean, here the covenant is being repeated now to Jacob. Only there's some new elements here which are really important for us to note. That the land he's given to him and the covenant he's making with him includes being a blessing to all the families on earth. Yeah. This is a significant difference, actually, from the Abraham just getting this location. Notice he said, and the ground you lie will be yours and your descendants. But you will be a blessing around the earth. Now let's move to Exodus, the 23rd chapter, and see if we can't determine more precisely exactly what he was praying about. Ready? Exodus 23, verse 31. Now we're with the Israelites as they have left Egypt. And God tells Moses something that brings us right up to the time of Jabez. Notice what it says. And I, you have verse 31. And I will fix your boundary from the Red Sea to the Sea of the Philistines. That would be the Mediterranean. And from the wilderness, which is just is east of the Jordan, to the river Euphrates, for I will deliver the inhabitants of the land into your hands, and you will drive them out before you. You shall make no covenant with them and with their God, and they shall not live in your land, lest they make you sin against me. For if you serve their gods, it will surely be a snare to you. And so we see from the principle of first mention that what obviously Jabez had in mind was he was claiming a promise that God had given to his descendants, to his forefathers, that this land would be yours and you would be a blessing. And so Jabez was more honorable, and God answered that request because he was praying that God would fulfill his promise and let him be a blessing larger than his brethren and increase his influence. Now I want you to remember something. Jabez lived in the time of the judges. Okay? This was after Joshua and before King David. And in the time of Judges, the book says, nobody was calling upon the name of the Lord. And we're told, too, that Moses and Joshua told the people, now you can have the land, go and possess it, drive out the nations that I promised, don't let them influence you. And guess what the Israelites did? Guess. They didn't do it. They left them there. And guess what the people who they left there did to them? Influence them, and they became like the world, and they were weak and insignificant, and their influence was incredibly minimal. And suddenly, in the midst of all of this degradation and destruction, Jabez shows up on the scene of action, and he prays that God would make in effect the promise that he gave to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. A promise to be a blessing. A promise that he wouldn't just be satisfied with a small little area of possession, but that he would ask God to increase his influence. Now, I want you also to notice that Jabez was claiming a promise. That promise existed in the Scriptures. God had promised this to his people. And so we see this is a legitimate request because it's a promise. And we are to learn how to claim promises, folks. And how can we claim promises if we don't know promises, right? The only way we're going to know what God promises by studying our Bible. We're getting a picture of this Jabez guy that he evidently was cut from a different cloth. He was different than the people around him. And that's why God called him more honorable and answered his prayer. So when we look at the principle of first mention, we discovered that God had made a promise. And that promise included that we would be a blessing. And then we find out that he claimed that promise, folks. And we have a right to claim it too. Now remember, the intention of this is to get you to study, to listen to these four-part series, to study this prayer from the Scriptures, and to read that little book that I showed you that's available at Costco for the cheapest price that I found yet. Because if we can get our church members praying this prayer for your life and for this church, this community is going to be changed. We need to increase our borders. We need to be intentionally asking God to increase our influence. Now, just so we don't lose this, because this is part of the promise, let's look at the third and final part of this sermon today, and that is this. First of all, we looked at first mention, and we find out what he meant by border. Secondly, we discovered it was a promise. He claimed it. And thirdly, we discover that it could be physical or spiritual blessing. Either one. I invite you to take your Bibles and take a moment to look at Matthew, the 25th chapter. This is very important for us. As you turn to Matthew 25, we're going to look at verse 14. And in looking at verse 14, I want you to see this is a last day parable of what it will be like and what God wants from His people. And in my Bible, and in yours too, if it has subtitles, is the parable of the talents. Okay? You have Matthew 25? Let's look at it. Verse 14. For it is just like. And what is it is just like? Of course, we go to the first verse of the chapter, the kingdom of heaven. The kingdom of heaven. And by the way, chapter 25 follows chapter 24, which speaks about the last days. So the last days, the kingdom of heaven will be like a man goes on a journey who calls his slaves and he entrusts his possessions to them. And to one he gives five, to another he gives two, and to another he gives one. Now please notice, first and foremost, every slave got something. No one was left out. And some got five, and some only got one, but they all got something. And you know the parable goes on to say he came back and he checked in with his slaves and he expected a return. And the one who had five and he said, I'm going to give you more. And the one who had two made two more. He said, I'm going to give you more and you can keep what you got. And the one who had one, unfortunately, didn't understand the principle. And he said he squandered his time, didn't make anything on the one he got, and he lost that one. But the neat part is, had he used that one and multiplied it to one, God would have said the same thing to him that he said to the one who had five. I want you to know that for you, the borders may be physical. It may be money. Success. Fame. But if your heart isn't given to Jesus Christ, it'll be totally wasted. And the reason Jabez's prayer was answered when he said, increase my borders, is his intention was to glorify God. And so it very well may mean physical blessings, an increase in the physical area. But brothers and sisters, I beg you, if that's you, then make sure that God is number one in your life. or Satan will use it or you for his purposes instead of God's purposes. But number two, I want to tell you something. If you're not really good at making money, being popular, famous, important, or powerful, God has spiritual talents to utilize that you have so you can increase your influence with those around you. And you can only do that if you have a relationship with Jesus Christ, so that when you go to work and someone comes to you and says, "Man, I just found out my wife has cancer," you'll say, "Oh no, that's terrible. I feel so bad. You know what I read in the Bible this morning? That all who call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." And I want you to know that if you pray to God, He'll help you get through this thing. And every time you do that, friends, you're increasing your border. Your influence is expanding. But notice that neither one will actually happen unless we're committed to Jesus Christ. That's why Jabez's prayer was answered. That's why he had a right to claim that promise. Then that's why he was successful. And it was added in the midst of all this genealogy, because he blew everybody's mind. He was different than all the others. He didn't just go to church on Sabbath, but he acted like a Sabbath keeper the other 6 days of the week. And he put God first. God was first. And so we see increase our borders can very well mean that you prosper financially. It might even mean you prosper materialistically. But brothers and sisters, make sure every bit of it is committed to Jesus Christ. So I want to tell you a story that happened to me. I'm not quite done yet, but that shows you and illustrates this. There was a pastor in Wisconsin, and I arrived at camp meeting with my brand new van. I bought that van. I wanted that van. And I knelt down in that van and I said, "Lord, that van is your van." And I was introduced to this pastor in Wisconsin, and we got talking and we became friends and da da. And one day he came up to me and he says, "Peter, I want to ask you a question." I said, "Actually, I have a favor to ask you." I said, "What's that?" He said, "You know, I'm going back after camp meeting to my district, and I'm taking my youth up to the Boundary Waters to go canoeing and camping." And he said, "You know, my van just broke down." And he said, "I wonder if you'd lend me your van." And my first thought was, "You're not taking my van. That's my van. I bought that van. I wanted that van. I'm paying for that van." I thought, "They're going to get dirt in it. They might scratch that van up." And I'm looking at him like this. And I'm sure he understands there's a little delay in the answer. My mind is thinking all of this stuff. And all of a sudden, this other voice says, "Didn't you kneel down and turn that man over to me?" And I went, "I did." I wish I could say, I immediately say, "It's yours, man, because I dedicated this to the Lord, and this is obviously the Lord's will, so you take it." I had to go through all of this, folks. Why? Because our selfishness, our humanness makes us want to possess things. And the truth is, none of it is ours. None of it. Even the ability to get it is given to us by God. And I was put to the test on this point. I just praise Him that I came through. I just wish I could have done it more quickly. But God wants to increase our borders. He wants to increase your borders, Lord. We need to be praying this prayer, but please be committed to Jesus Christ, because that is the only way it will be of any benefit for anybody, including yourself. Well, what does this have to do with Noah? Let's go back to Genesis, and I want to show you something that struck me the other day. Do you have Genesis 6 in closing here? Let me read this, because to me, I'm sorry, but it sure seems in my mind to be a description of the time in which we're living. Here's something I had never noticed before. Just the other day I was reading this. Then the Lord saw, verse 5 of chapter 6 of Genesis, the Lord saw the wickedness of man was great on the earth, and that every intent of the thought of the hearts was only evil continually. And the Lord was sorry that He made man on the earth, and He was grieved to His heart. And the Lord said, I will blot out man whom I have created from the face of the land. In fact, I'm even going to take out the animals that creep, and I'm going to take out the birds in the sky, for I wish I never made them. And I never noticed that before. He was going to take out the animals too. Now you know that God didn't lose His temper. But humanly it's described that way so we can visualize it, because that's what we're like. His intention was to wipe everything out, but He didn't do that. Why? One man stood different from the rest of society. And the Bible simply says, but Noah found favor in the eyes of the Lord. Young people, do you want a challenge today? Do you want a reason for existence? Do you want something to look up to and see what God can do and wants to do with you? One person kept God from carrying forth that threat, because he was different from all the rest. Instead, he was calling upon the name of the Lord. And because he was calling upon the name of the Lord could increase his borders. And now he saved the life at least of 7 of every clean and 2 of every unclean, plus his own family. But God's intention was that his preaching for 120 years would have brought millions into that boat. And it wasn't because Noah wasn't faithful. It's because God was so correct in His assessment of the situation that after 120 years, He could only save Noah. And it turned out that even His children who got on the boat, some of them weren't right either. We can be a Noah. We need to pray for God to increase our borders. And He'll do it. And it'll be a blessing if our lives are fully committed to Jesus Christ. Father, I want to thank You for the challenge today. I want You to help all of us rise to the occasion. I know You have intentions for every person in this room. I know there's resources here that are needed by Your work. Lord, I know there's talents here that are needed by Your work. Help us that we would see a call from You, and that this is the prayer we need to pray, and You will use us. And Lord, I also thank You too, there's no debt here. From my understanding that whatever we put into Your work, we get a return. It's multiplied. And that's why the Bible says that it's pressed down even after being shaken and running over. In fact, Joe's children's story today helped me understand that text better. He shook that jar and more stuff went down, so he could get more stuff in it. Lord, help us. Let decisions be made right now. Let us clearly see that Your intentions is that we would reach out from us to others, and You'd bring them in. So bless us now, Lord, and thank You for hearing and answering this prayer, because it's prayed in Jesus' wonderful, powerful name. Amen.